Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Elijah Erbel is driving the bus today. We are buckled. We have hockey helmets on. It'll work out. Hope you do it all right. What a emotionally draining weekend for Nebraska baseball fans. Saturday night still on our mind. We'll open up the phone lines for you on them Cowboys doing cowboy things. We'll comment on all of the armchair managers out there that know them some baseball better than Erstad. That is thick with sarcasm. And we'll talk about it. We'll get into what 2019 baseball was for you with Nebraska. Or do you not care anymore since they're eliminated? I am sorry, man, but I, vocal minority and a small sample size, it is not indicative of most Nebraska baseball fans, but the ones that get on, and good for you, man, as a fan, to voice your opinion, cry it out, let it all out. You know, the scene from Dumb and Dumber where they're blowing their nose with $100 bills, I get it. It's all right, Harry. Let it all out. Let it all out. Man, Saturday night sucked. We were in Coach Brett's kitchen. Had a long day of baseball at Fremont. The boys, our boys, the Lincoln A's, didn't play so well. And we're in disbelief because there's a living room full of folks that have gone and watched Nebraska baseball since the Buck Belzer days. Okay, I am prefacing it with that. So they have seen a lot of bad and ugly, okay, with fan support. You fast forward to 2019, and it's still Haymarket. It's still the jewel of the Big Ten from a stadium and resource and investment standpoint. And I know Nebraska baseball fan wants to win, and the Dave Van Horn era, gosh darn it, needs to come back. I get all of the want. Right? Or even the 05 season. Wouldn't it be great to go on another run like that again? Yes. It doesn't happen by snapping your fingers. And all weekend long, man, it's like I ran into, well, it's year eight. What's going on? And I got a buddy that he likes Erstad. He supports Erstad. But he questions the management. And for the life of me, to go hindsight 2020, second guess, on the ninth just is idiotic. And you can go, well, if you keep Shaneman in there, it's different. Dude's not your closer. He's your setup pitcher. That's his role. He is phenomenal at it. You don't break what's worked for you when you're 29-0. You execute better. You execute better if you're Nebraska's closer. And Gomez will be the first to tell you that. Dead red. You maybe mix it up, and I know he's a fastball pitcher because a lot of closers are, but maybe there's some sort of breaking pitch mixed in there so Boone can't destroy signage out in left field. So, man, you were so close, and you're so distraught, and then yesterday was a whimper at the finish line with UConn going off on Nebraska and then going on to beat Oklahoma State. So it's UConn and Cowboys tonight, I think, on ESPN2. So what do you say about the Nebraska baseball season? Are you over it? Are you all cried out from Saturday night? Or are you optimistic? Do you feel good? Do you feel like things have turned the corner a bit? And my God, we've had 1,000, well, we turned the corner, conversations the last 20 years in Nebraska sports. We have. After a big win in football, right? No matter who the hell the coach was, maybe it's okay now. Or you're getting there, you get a big road win during the Miles era. Man, they're right there. And there's this sentiment of of Erstad's, you know, treated a little different because he's one of, air quote, ours. And he is. Darren Erstad's special. He's a special player, special athlete, special talent. And is he always right as a head coach? No. No head coach is always right. Is he as bad as some of you make him out to be? Absolutely not. Does he need to recruit in-state better? Yes. Do they need to prioritize it like Nebraska's are prioritizing the walk-ons? Yes. In football, where we need you, not you should want to come here. But overall, I think these guys did one hell of a job. We were all ready to write them off after Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Guilty. Wasn't going to pile on them and be rude, but the way they started, you can't take, as a Nebraska fan, just like closing out and underachieving. If you build up to a certain level where you have some monster non-con wins, you are aggressive as all get out, strength of schedule-wise, and perform at a high level. You've got a guy like Waldron and Fisher this year as a 1-2 punch. You think sky's the limit, man. Finish top two or three in the Big Ten. Technically, they didn't, but they were arguably amongst the best three in the Big Ten this year. They took more than they lost against Michigan. They were right there with Illinois. Okay, they run ruled Iowa. Pour a drink for that. And then you get to this moment where you do everything right except finish. And that is the process of sports. That's the process of growth. That's the process of a team and program kind of moving forward. Now, you can't step back from this moment next year and not qualify or go 0-2. You got to move it forward. And I think with the talent on the roster, they got to find some arms, dude. They're losing two really good ones in Waldron and Fisher. But I think guys like Shadaman and like Gomez and Paulkert, I mean, I'm optimistic, and I like the fact that you've got a bunch of young dudes, 6-year, 9 position guys, saw the fire this year, and this team responded in May. That's what I take away from 2019, was how well, when it was nut cutting time, how they came back against Arizona State, against Michigan. You wanted them to seal it against Ohio State. They didn't. The way they found a way to win against UConn, and then right there against Oklahoma State. What could have been? This could have been kind of a Cinderella run ahead of schedule. And Nebraska didn't get the job done. This is a instance where it's a growing pain year, where you're good enough to be in contention, you compete, but maybe you just can't quite get the job done. You need to finish. This was the teaching moment. Learn how to finish a high-pressure situation. Because you've done it, especially the last month of May, where you've had some really big-time opportunities, and you've delivered in that. You had another big-time opportunity. You just didn't do it in postseason Saturday night, where a team that is notorious for coming from behind and plays guerrilla ball did you in, Trevor Boone. From a strategy standpoint, guys, I want to get your guys' take and feedback. And you've seen it on social media, 466-377-6800, 825-5865, numbers to get in. What do you make of the 2019 Nebraska baseball season? I think missed opportunity. Okay, I have laid out that there is a process for getting to, like, learning how to win and win championships and compete for that. If you're there and you've owned the night, you might as well go ahead and finish. I look at it as a missed opportunity because you were right there. You were right there with how well Greg Maddux Waldron pitched on Saturday night, and how well your guy and Aaron Polinsky got the guys off on a beautiful right foot with that three-run bomb, and the bat flip was gorgeous. And then even old Gomez, man, two-out RBI, where he has been swinging out of his heels, bless his heart, most of the last 6 weeks. And he finds a way to get two more in. You have five runs. You didn't execute. That's what came down to on Saturday night. With a pitch that was up to Boone, you had a chance by Acker in the eighth to bunt over a one-out single to get a guy in scoring position. He didn't do it. Credit goes to Lyons for Oklahoma State. He came in and put the fire out. No more forest fire. And he was good. But, man, you might as well finish it. And that's what Nebraska will need to take from this season is, okay, you were right there. Now go finish it. Now go finish it next year. Be in this position a year from now. Win the Big Ten. Win the big one, really. That's what I take away from 2019 is you won some big ones, but now go win the big one in postseason in the Big Ten tournament. That'll be back at TD Ameritrade Park. Go win the big and go win a game to get you to a regional final. That's kind of where I'm at. I know I'm rambling here, but, man, it was such high emotion over the weekend. Nebraska missed an opportunity, but I'm not mad at them for not delivering. I think they played their butts off, and I think it was one of those learning experiences that really, really, really hurts.
Other than preseason expectations, correct me
which
if
were I, they were sixth.
Right. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but this kind of felt like how the Nebraska basketball season went, right? The non-conference, you look great. Mm-hmm. But basketball came in with really high expectations because you knew who was there.
Because you finished fourth the year before.
The only expectations you had for baseball were, we've got two guys that can pitch, and we'll find the rest out as we go. Mm-hmm. But the trajectory was kind of the same. Non-con starts off really well. There's this middle-of-the-year slump, and then all of a sudden they come out of nowhere.
They come out of the rafters,
and they get hot at the end. But with baseball, I mean, they rattled off two good series wins back-to-back at home. Take that right up to Omaha. Are that close against Ohio State? A couple of calls that go the other way and they win.
You shouldn't have lost to Ohio State.
No, but, you know, they that close, mm-hmm. right? And similar situation with that and Oklahoma State. One thing goes one team's way, and it's a different ball game. But you look at it, this was a highly successful season.
Big time.
I mean, there's nobody that thought.
We were kicking dirt on them post-Northwestern, and for them to respond and be resilient, I think that's what I take away as well. They do give a damn, and they've got guts.
Yeah, and you want to
say that about your teams.
And they didn't stop fighting. That's the thing. And I think that's who they have as a head coach. Mm-hmm. It's just a guy that is going to be gritty, and they're going to fight till the end. And they did, and they came up just short. And then you go into that UConn game. It's hard to bounce back from. You would hope they
you're
would.
You're not going to win, but you can't get freaking boat race 16-1.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Nebraska's thinness in the pitching rotation showed where you get 11 runs the last two innings piled up on you.
Yeah,
because guys can't get outs.
Yeah,
okay. Waldron came in, couldn't get out. Lindsman came in. I know he's battled injury. Came in, couldn't get outs, and it was a freak show. Okay, it just was, and it went from 5-1 where your offense is muted anyway to 11 runs. So that's a bad look to finish the year on. But you lost the regional Saturday night.
Yeah, it didn't really come down to that UConn game because, like I said, you're not going to bounce back perfectly from that. You'd hope you'd go in and play well, mm-hmm. or still fight, and it just kind of went off the rails.
They were in la-la land because of how punch drunk they were from Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about this for a second. Elijah, you can chime in here too, but do you walk Boone and put the tying run on third? Because that's the biggest bitch you hear from Saturday night. And I've got good baseball people that we're sharing cocktails with that everyone's just like dejected, you know, feeling for Nebraska baseball. And I'm like, I still firmly believe you can't do it. You can't miss and give up a monster shot, obviously. But I don't think you walked the guy because McCusker had done damage to you already. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're just playing with fire. Anyway, you have two out. Get one more dude. You got a guy that's swinging out of his heels, right, in Boone anyway. Go at him. You can't preach compete, compete, compete. You can also mix in strategy too, yes. But you can't mix compete and then just decide, well, we're going to walk the guy.
Well, and I think, too, they gave him – I think you probably saw over the weekend, Adley Rutschman got it too for Oregon State.
Yeah, well, they walked in a run.
You know, they gave the Barry Bonds treatment. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, and similar to Arizona State when they were playing them, every dude on that roster, at least your four best hitters, have double-digit home runs. And Oklahoma State was kind of
they're
the same
stacked.
Way. You go down the list, it's like, oh, 21, 12, 17. Oh, these guys hit a lot of home runs. It doesn't really matter who it was, but you take your chances. I think at some point, yeah, but there would have been nothing wrong with walking him either, I think. So you could do either, but it could always be worse on one end.
No, and I just fundamentally, you don't walk the tying run.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too old school baseball for that, but you go at the guy, and next time you don't miss. We'll have thoughts from Erstad, from Altavilla, and can chime in on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio. Chris Schmidt, that's my Twitter handle, @2birds1stone. Colton Stone's Twitter handle, @HerbalEssence. That's Elijah's Twitter handle, and it's fantastic. Thoughts on Nebraska's baseball season? Maybe you're over the year, moving on. When's football start? 89 days, if you're counting. We'll talk some football with Jay Moore. Some baseball thoughts from Jay as well. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Charlie McBride coming up. Derek Peterson, he's back from OKC. We'll get caught up with him next hour. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time to get caught up with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay Bird, how was your weekend?
It was, it was good. I had a chance to play in a golf tournament. I played golf. I can't say it was good golf, but I played golf.
Jay, I want to spend some time on Nebraska baseball. A tough exit yesterday against UConn, 16-1. You don't ever want to go out like that. That said, you're an out away against Oklahoma State from a regional final, and what a tale of two ball games and the wild swings of emotion. I know you're a huge baseball fan. It was a sport you loved playing and were really good at. What do you make of the Nebraska season in 2019?
It was a pretty successful one. You know, overall, I think it started off playing pretty well. It was, you know, their ups and downs, and I've said it before, I've discussed it before. I mean, baseball, it's such a, it's a long season. These kids start playing in February. You're playing upwards of, over 60 games, and there's just a lot of baseball, and you're going to have some good times, you're going to have some bad times, and really when, time came down to it, these kids stepped up and played pretty good baseball when they needed to. You want to talk about the Big Ten tournament? Obviously, they didn't get a couple calls to go their way. Big Ten tournament championship game against Ohio State, but they got there. And then the regional, like you said, I mean, they fought out the first game against UConn. Kind of weathered the storm there after UConn got to another hot start. I mean, UConn's been hitting over 400 in the regional this week, so that's just crazy. You know, college baseball now they have the baseball bats. But, could they maybe won a few more games? I mean, they were so close. I mean, that's just how crazy level of baseball is, but just college baseball in general. College baseball is such an emotional game. When you have young kids, 18 to 20, 22-year-old kids playing in there, I mean, they were an out away from probably advancing to a super regional. And then you don't get it. They get the home run, lose 6-5. It's just hard to beat another team twice. And now good UConn's behind the ball. Man, it's unfortunate, but, I just look at it as, they got themselves, they put themselves in the situation. You know, they're an at-large bid. They didn't have to win the conference to get in. So that was a plus. They didn't need to do it. Like, literally, they're one out away from probably getting themselves to, I know they still had to go out and either beat Oklahoma State again or UConn again, but let's be honest, that team was playing some good baseball. You have that one hit. I mean, it just totally just demoralizes your demeanor, your the psychology of it all. I mean, they had a killer hangover against UConn. They just couldn't get over it. You're right there. You're right to the mountaintop, and all of a sudden you came tumbling down. They couldn't climb back up. So it's unfortunate, but a successful year. I mean, pitching was better. Injuries were down. That's what they struggled from last year with injuries and pitching. Their hitting wasn't great at times, but when they needed some hits, they stepped up big in the postseason. So overall, like I said, successful year. You can build off this. I know they lose some really good seniors, but I know Urshad and Cruz out there recruiting well. And just build on this. Keep building and building and put yourself in the same situation next year, and things will be fine. Definitely no panic mode here. I'm an Urshad supporter. Been an Urshad supporter since day one. He's the right man for this job, and I know he'll get things clicking all the right directions here soon.
Jay, Jay Moore is with us, Hale Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Baseball more so than basketball, more so than football, to me, seems to bring out the bandwagon. I mean, you have fans that were going scorched earth on Twitter because Shanneman wasn't left in. Why did Urshad go to Gomez? And I'm like, because he's the freaking closer. You know, they're 29-0 when he comes in that situation for Nebraska baseball. I mean, every and any second guesser, Urshad hater was out with their torch lit after Nebraska couldn't close the deal. They should have closed the deal. Okay, they should have got couple of bunts down in the seventh or eighth to get the leadoff single, and I forget if it was the seventh or eighth. The point is you needed an insurance run.
Sure.
Five wasn't enough against Oklahoma State, okay? It just wasn't. Did you let Waldron go maybe a batter too soon? Yeah, perhaps in hindsight, but it was just, I mean, it was textbook 2020 hindsight going on here with Urshad, and people, not a ton, but some crushed him. Why don't you walk Boone? And you don't walk the tying run. You just don't. Do you pitch around the guy? Sure. Do you throw something different that's not dead red? Maybe. I mean, there's execution that didn't happen, for sure. But I lose my energy. Not that Urshad's should be anointed for sainthood or anything with the win-loss record in his time here. No, but I think he didn't do anything wrong. He went out there and wanted his guys to compete. They didn't get it done. What's your take and reaction to everyone's silent, and then when things go sour, it's, well, let's get the pitchforks out and scream about coaches and this insinuation that Nebraska needs to go get a new baseball coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's the majority of those people, they're the same ones that, will criticize, whether it was Pelini, mm-hmm. Riley, hell, even back to Callahan. I mean, and probably they're the ones that were, they'll criticize Frost when he something doesn't go right. If it was, left, they think it should have went right. Mm-hmm. If it was up, they think it should have went down. They said those people, there's some people that are, they're only happy when they're complaining and bitching. I mean, there's just those people out there, and they just like to voice their opinion. That's what you kind of get with social media nowadays is, everyone has opinion. And unfortunately, you have to see those opinions sometimes unless you completely remove yourself from it all. But those same people, I mean, hell, they probably can't, let alone throw a baseball, let alone probably, know what to do in situational baseball is so, every sport, there's so many different situations, and in baseball there is endless amounts of situations. I mean, you have to throw to that batter. You can't block time, put them on the tying run onto first. I mean, let's be honest, the pitcher in that situation missed the spot. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to throw down the middle and give him a fastball over the meat of the plate. I mean, no, he missed the spot. Let's be honest, that happens. I mean, this isn't Clayton Kershaw up there. These are college pitchers. They're not perfect. They're going to miss their spot every now and then. And Oklahoma State's best hitter just took advantage of it. I mean, it's going to happen. But, it's just, those people are going to be out there. I mean, they would have won, and it wouldn't have ever happened. I mean, it's just the nature of it. I mean, we all want to second guess decisions when things don't go right. I mean, I do it daily with some of my own decisions. Why did I do that? But it's just, it is what it is. I mean, you gotta live with it and learn from it. I mean, I'm sure Darren's gonna learn from it. I'm sure these kids will learn from it. You gotta finally put themselves in the situation to win. Sometimes you got to put yourself in these type of situations and learn from them when it doesn't go your way. So the next time you're there, you benefit from the past situations and you make sure that those mistakes don't happen again. That's why I always look at things. So those people, you're always going to have them. I know Moose and Darren aren't listening to those guys because their opinion doesn't matter. It never will. So he's the right guy. I mean, he's love Coach Erstad, his demeanor and how he gets the kids to play with passion, the energy, and the toughness. Just didn't go our way, and that happens sometimes. It's baseball. It's sports in general.
I mean, there's
doesn't go your way.
There's been bone crushing losses. Pick a sport, pick a moment, and Saturday night was that. And yesterday, you didn't exit the way you wanted to, but it's hard to bounce back from. You'd like to say you can bounce back better. It didn't happen. You've detailed UConn's assault offensively. So there's next year for Nebraska. I love the youth. I think they'll be poised to be in the same position and deliver next year. Maybe on to a super regional. So I'm excited for the direction. Jay, we didn't get caught up last week. I want to get your take on two Huskers that have new addresses and two of your teammates. And I know it's a little bit old, but again, man, I want your take on it. Would you sign Richie Incognito? Oakland did. There was some backlash about it last week. I love Incognito's salt is the best way to put it. And more so, I would love his ability if I'm John Gruden. That's why you take a low-risk, high-reward contract to him. Right. What's your take? You've practiced against the guy.
Yeah.
And is he an issue for that locker room when you look at the personalities that are in that locker room?
Is there always potentially an issue? I mean, just everyone, you know, Richie, I mean, yeah, just when, you know, he's constantly, you know, if you want to, where there's a spark, there's potential
explosion.
For a flame. If you get, exactly. I mean, it's how he operates. But that just shows you how good of a football player he is. He can take a whole year off and contemplate retiring or did want to retire. And all of a sudden, you know, Oakland's like, hey, we'll take you because you're that good of a football player. I mean, he is. He's one of the best guards. To play here, you know, in the mid 2000s in the NFL, whether he's with, you know, Miami, St. Louis, Buffalo. I mean,
right.
the guy can flat out play, and he's tough, and he's nasty, and that's what you got to have in the NFL. He's an athlete. He's strong. I mean, he's got all the tools. He just runs hot, but that's a good thing sometimes in football. But you just got to be careful with it. Not surprised. I mean, that just shows you how good of a football player he is. I hope it works out. I hope that you know, he, you know, the, with the coach he has in Oakland and with Gruden, I hope they are able to, you know, contain that spark and use it to put it to good use. And if everything works out, I mean, the guy can probably play another couple years. I mean, if he's not, you know, spring chicken anymore. He's, you know, he's probably 36. I mean, that's getting old for an NFL guy, especially off of the lineman, but that just shows you how good of a player is, and no surprise that he got signed at all.
30 seconds, Sue, and Tampa, does it make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, kind of surprised that they got rid of McCoy, but I can kind of see what they're doing there. Yeah, I mean, he gets to, you know, join with Levante, and, you know, gets a I can't remember if they're still running a 4-3 or 3-4 there. They changed coordinators there multiple times, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Bowles is down there, so it might be back to... Did he run a 3-4 in New York? I don't remember.
I can't. Yeah, I think he did. So, you know, listen, I mean, he's just trying... It's just... I know we've talked about this before with Sue, trying to win a championship. And he got so close, obviously, getting the Super Bowl last year. And maybe he thinks Tampa Bay can get there. But it's just another opportunity in play when that's in that system. And, you know... You always have known Tampa Bay's defense is playing just super fast and physical. And that's the way I look at Sue. He just plays fast and physical. And I think it'll be a good fit. Get him with Levante and just, you know, a different scene. And hopefully the guy can get championships rather sooner or later before he decides to hang it up too. So happy for him. And a great move for Tampa Bay and both sides there.
Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Bird, we'll see you this week, bud.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, buddy.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut, preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel. Hope you're doing all right. Plenty of Nebraska baseball can still join us on that discussion. As what do you make of Nebraska's 2019 season? Were you satisfied? Were you disappointed? Everyone was frustrated and reached for the tequila Saturday night, man. That was rough. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. We'll get into some college football here in just a minute. Want to remind you about Madonna Therapy Plus, and summer's underway. And as good as the weekend was, man, I hope you got out and swung the clubs or sat by the pool or just flexed around your neighborhood. What I'm telling you, though, is as summer is here and golf season is a must, you might have some pain and tightness limiting your swing. Madonna Therapy Plus at Proactive can get you back in the game. They've got the Swing Well Golf Assessment and Fitness Program by Darren Bryant. Of the Titleist Performance Institute. He's also a certified golf fitness expert. I know golf and fitness sometimes run from each other, but man, if you're having some swings and that back doesn't feel right, it can limit your game. So the Swing Well program is what you got to check out with Madonna Therapy Plus at Madonna Proactive. They'll give you the physical evaluation combined with video analysis and customized exercise programs to help you get your swing back up to par. The Golf Swing Well program assessment, it's not a golf lesson. It's just designed to give your body some help that you may need, and that'll help your swing. Give Madonna Proactive and Therapy Plus a ring today if you're having issues with your back and that swing at 402-420-0004 or log on MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. Okay, as promised, some college football question is out there. Let's discuss it. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at @2birds1stone, at @HerbalEssenceElijahHerbal. Okay, teams under the most pressure to win a national championship. So here's the list, and we can discuss it. Bama, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Clemson and Texas, Ohio State, LSU, rounding out the top 10. Pick somebody from the Pac-12. As a Nebraska fan base, you are starved for a championship. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you'll be happy with division title first and go play for the Big Ten championship and start kind of stacking three out of every 5 years those trips to Indy, right? We talk what are expectations for baseball. 4 out of 5 years, you get to a regional. You finish top three in the Big Ten. Okay, I don't think that's unfair for baseball. I think it's with football, start winning the West, right? You've done it once since you've moved into the neighborhood, and start getting to Indy 3 out of every 5 years, 2 out of every 4 years. Because there's going to be some years you're screwed with at Iowa, at Northwestern, at Wisconsin. Just from a West standpoint, are you getting even year or odd year? I think Nebraska will grow up to be a really good road team in the Big Ten West and in the Big Ten. They'll get back to being a good road team. But it doesn't just happen overnight, right? We talked about building and the process. Same is what are you drawing year in, year out with your crossover games? Are you at Penn State on a Saturday night in a November setting, or are you getting them end of September like Nebraska's getting Ohio State here? With this list, what do you guys think? For me, the team that's under the most pressure to win a national championship, and it's not fair, but he's built this expectation up, it's Alabama for me. Okay, and I say that because things have transpired at Alabama to say that they're mortal now may be a stretch, but I think they're trending that way. When you have turnover with all the assistants, Saban's always lost assistants, but he's lost two of his key assistants to different landing spots in the SEC. You've got a guy at Tennessee now. You have a guy at Georgia, and Kirby Smart. The Georgia's knocking on that door, okay? So I think when it comes to the most pressure to win a title, it is absolutely Alabama. You got one more year at Tua. What do you do with that? You lost Hurts as a transfer, and right now, is the word out, man? Are you teetering? Are you getting soft? Dare I say, in the SEC? And are you ripe for the picking right now? So I think Alabama needs to bounce back. On top of that, I think your market share is gone. I mean, it's still 50%, but it used to be 75%. It used to be 80%. Dabo and Clemson have swooped that up. I mean, Clemson's the it team, and you've got Dabo and his style of running a program and his personality, and he's, you know, 2.0 of the guy who cares about you, and that's awesome. And then there's Saban, who may scream at you, right? Just the personalities are apples and oranges. So I think it is key for Alabama. I would put Oklahoma's been knocking on that door, right? I mean, they've been to the college football playoff a lot. They've produced two Heisman winners. They're the it hot young program with Riley. But they need to deliver here. And they've played well enough to win, right? Defense has been the problem for them. So I think Oklahoma, to me, jumps to number two, because how long is this window going to stay open? How long is this window of great quarterbacks going to continue? And I think Hurts is a stretch. I think Oklahoma struggles this year, maybe to the tune of 9 or 10 wins, not a 12-1 season. Notre Dame and Michigan. Michigan's got to win the Big Ten. They don't need to win a national championship. Georgia, you've got Fromm there. You better do something with that talent. Mm-hmm. That's fair. LSU and Ohio State and Texas. They need to be playing New Year's Day sixes constantly, and maybe you reach that mountaintop and play for a championship, or you get into the college football playoff. I think Clemson's fine.
Yeah,
I mean you've lost a lot defensively, and you had two of your top offensive linemen suspended, or two players suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a vacay year, and you're only 11-1. And don't win it this year, so be it. Who do you got? Who's your top pick?
I mean, looking at the list, it's just a list of teams that have been, like, right there or really close. And I think, like, LSU's on that list because Alabama should be slipping. I feel like they're going to, you know, their slip will be 10
like,
wins.
Everyone's wishing for them to slip.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of with Ohio State, and this is the year that you might expect it. Looking at if I'm going off of this list, I think Alabama, in the sense that they may fall off soon, but I think honestly, Oklahoma or Texas, one of those two, just because out of the Big 12, it should be one of those two,
it is,
and
yeah.
Someone should make a run. Like, they just have
OU's
to.
Been right there. Texas surprised more. This isn't the norm. Elijah, who do you got? Who's under the most pressure to win a title?
I look at LSU. I mean, Orgeron's been so close so many times. He's kind of looks like a Bo Pelini at Nebraska type of guy, where he's currently...
Can't get over the hump?
Currently top 25, but can't get over that hump. Can't beat Bama.
Well, and, you know, I mean, they played their ass off a year ago and got rocked 31-0. I mean, and look at all the LSU guys in the NFL. I mean, it's not like they're there. We'll see if Burrow gets them to a different level in year two. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, breaking news that happened 5 minutes ago. Darren Erstad stepping down as Nebraska's baseball coach. Full press release coming up here in a moment. We'll share that with you. A reminder about your friends at Austad's, 27th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. And listen, I spent time with the master fitter, Chris DeBusque, and his expertise has helped me have a joyous 2019 golf game. What they did for me is they took pictures, video analysis, and measured what I needed. That is forgiveness. They put the fitting chart on me, and they marked my ball speed, club head speed, carry distance. And then they assessed what I needed, and hybrids are the fit for me. Got some awesome Mizuno hybrids, a 3, a 6, a 7, and a new putter that I'm friends with. What I'm telling you is get your butt to Austad's, man. Father's Day's around the corner. They are fantastic when it comes to getting you fit. And Master Fitter Chris DeBusque is going to make that next golf outing great for you because of what you need. And that's they're prepared, they're educated, and they'll recommend what you need to make that golf game better. It's very easy. Log on, austads.com. Make an appointment today. Make that appointment, get to Austad's, and get fit by their master fitter, Chris DeBusque, to help your golf game jump leaps and bounds. Austad's, 27th and Pine Lake in Lincoln, austads.com. Okay, Darren Erstad stepping down. This is just a bombshell, right? Where we just spent in the last 45 minutes talking about where this team can go, what this team can grow into, the process, and what they were able to do. And here is what Coach Erstad is quoted per the University of Nebraska. I have made the extremely difficult decision to step away from coaching. I love this team. I love our staff. I love Nebraska. The bottom line is I do not want to miss seeing our kids grow up. I want to thank our administration and academic staff overall for all of their support over the last 8 years. GBR forever. Bill Moose responding to Erstad. As he said, Erstad was the right individual to lead the Husker program, but understands Erstad's choice to spend more time with family. Darren earned the right to lead this baseball program well into the future, and I was hopeful that that would be the case. Darren loved the opportunity to represent Nebraska every day and did an outstanding job. He's a Nebraska guy who loves this program and is a proven winner. With all that said, I respect and admire that Darren's priority now is to spend more time with his family and watch his children grow up. So when you hear family situation, it's usually something that you can scoff at, especially if you're back coaching, kind of like the health situation, mm-hmm. you know, with Urban. But this is true, and I got a little firsthand insight on Darren and his kids, and it's been a few years. But my little guy played football with Darren's little guy, and it was flag football years back. But we're talking a proud papa. I mean, Erstad plopped down in the lawn chair. We'd be freezing our butt off on a fall Monday night, either over by Lincoln High or over Densmore. And Erstad's got the old thick gloves on and the blankie going, and he's watching his kids, and he's just happy and proud of them. And what was going to happen moving forward is probably a higher intensity on the recruiting trail to make this jump. That is time, right? That is lots of time. Do you want to be spending summers recruiting? Do you want to be spending summers with your kids as they play ball? Thank you, Darren Erstad, for your time at Nebraska. Coach McBride's next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah Erbel producing the show today. It is Mondays with Charlie Time, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. And, Coach, we had some breaking news about 10 minutes ago or so, maybe 15, and that's Darren Erstad. Coach Erstad stepping down, resigning from Nebraska baseball today, as he's wanting to spend more time with his kids, wants to watch them grow up. Nebraska had a shot Saturday night to finish off Okie State. It didn't happen. And Coach Erstad's moving forward, and the program's in a much better spot than when he took over. And, man, I'm kind of shocked right now. I'd like to kind of get your immediate reaction. And I know you coached Darren and know Darren, and he's kind of your type of dude, a tough dude. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think, number one, financially, he's pretty sound. That's just basic, you know, and right. I'm getting that. And I think in the beginning, realistically, I think he had some hesitation about taking the job in the first place. That's just between me and myself, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit, because it kind of got drawn out there for a couple of days, and so I was kind of concerned about whether he, you know, I knew it wouldn't be a whole bunch of money. I mean, Tom was the AD, and I'm sure Tom's sorry to see him go. I'm very sorry to see him go, because I thought he was getting the thing back on track. And, you know, I don't know whether they take a step back or what happens now. I don't, I don't even want to guess. But I'm sure there'll be somebody good come in, because the facilities and things like that can draw a good coach in there. But I really feel bad about it. But I understand where he's coming from because I went through a little bit of the same thing. I didn't know. You know, at times you're not getting able to go watch your kids play ball, and you can't, you know, you just are limited. And when you get right down to it, yeah, I actually cheated my kids because I wasn't able to get to a lot of their things because of coaching.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, and that's something that you've opened up about in the past with just being a proud dad and a loving father, but also a guy who's got a hell of a lot of responsibility with your job. I mean, you love your immediate family, but you also love the 105 kids you're coaching and recruiting, and you're a father to a lot of other kids too. I mean, that's hard for people to, you can talk about it, but it's hard actually doing it.
Right. Well, you know, at one time when the kids were young, you know, it was kind of funny because one of my kids said, "Dad, you love your players more than you do us." Now, that'll stop you for a minute, you know, until they understand what really you're talking about, and they don't understand it. That just that you're spending more time with them is, you know, was their take on it, and not with, you know, not able to be at home and go to my game or do the things that, you know, you want to do. And that's why I said when you're in coaching, you're treating your kids. And I know coaches that are not even living with their families. They move around so much, their families just said, "Hey, we're going to stay here and let the kids finish high school, and you know, if you're going to take a job, then you're on your own," kind of, you know, and guys are living in apartments. And, you know, to me, I don't know if that's a good way to live, you know, and I couldn't see it. That's a lot of the reason I stayed at Nebraska. I think I there's one thing I wanted them to do is, you know, say that Lincoln was their home, you know, and hopefully that was, you know what I was hoping for, and that's what happened. All their friends are there. They graduated from high school there. So it was, it was a good thing. It was a good thing for us, at least in that manner.
Charlie McBride's with us. Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. We're talking about Darren Erstad's resignation as Nebraska's baseball coach, the life of a coach, and juggling that when you have kids. And I was, before we went to commercial break, my little guy played with Coach Erstad's little guy a few years back, and he was a proud guy, man. He'd sit down in that lawn chair with the blanket, and we'd all bundle up and watch our kids run, you know. And so I understand it, and I can't imagine. My vow is to never miss. My kid wishes I'd miss, but I mean, never miss one of his games. I mean, I want to be there for him. And a class act decision, as much as it hurts Erstad as he's torn to go with his kids. I mean, and, you know, I was ticked off about how it's okay to question, but I felt like he was really underappreciated here. Darren Erstad was.
Well, I think, you know, Darren's kind of a quiet person. And, maybe some people took him the wrong way, you know, a little bit if they don't know him. I mean, he's such a fun guy, it's unbelievable. I mean, I had a laugh. I think I told this story before. I came in from recruiting, and they were playing KU, and I walked up through the tunnel there in the field underneath right behind the plate, and he was kind of in the batter's box, and, you know, and I said hello to him. We were talking, just a little small talk, and then he had to go bat, and he said, "Watch this." So the first pitch was a ball. The second one was over the right field fence, and so, you know, he already knew what he was going to do. I mean, he was that good, and it kind of woke me up a little bit. This guy's really something, you know, and but he's just kind of reserved, and you know. He doesn't look like a lot of fun in the dugout, and you know, he sees a lot of other ways other coaches act. That's just his personality, and the players understand that. It's just that sometimes the people watching, and you know, you're exposed the whole game, and you know, some people just like some other way. You know, I don't, each one has their own little niche in life, and you know, so you don't know, but. I'll tell you what, I don't think, you know, there was a better person that really cared about Nebraska as much as he did.
I think you're right on with that. And I mean, just, and I don't know him, but just being around him a little bit, he's funny, but he's kind of dry, quick, funny with,
yeah,
you know, his one of his players is struggling, and his kid will just, one of his kids at Nebraska, I remember, just smoked one to the shortstop. I mean, just a great piece of ball on bat on ball contact. He's like, quit hitting it to the shortstop. I mean, just something quirky and funny like that. He's like, you know, it's almost kind of that hockey humor, you know, quit hitting it to the shortstop type thing. And let's touch on Erstad, the player that you got to experience. You just told the story about him telling you it's home run derby time for baseball. From a football standpoint, because you were a kicker as well, right?
Yeah.
Right. You and him are the two.
Not as good as he was.
You and him are the two kickers no one would mess with. You both are like the Australian guys that no one wants to jack with, from a toughness standpoint. But what were your interactions like with him? Because he was such a big part of the team on special teams. And I remember the story about Osborne, you know, questioning his athleticism or something because he's a kicker, and that really ticked him off. It was in a joking manner.
He did it. He knew better because, I mean, you know, he's probably one. He may have been the fastest player on the team.
Really?
And he could have played. He could have played defensive back. He could have been a wide receiver for sure. I mean, no question. But that was a no-no. That was part of the deal. I think that, you know, with baseball, I think a little bit, and I don't know who made that decision necessarily, but I know, of course, when he got drafted, it was definitely that, you know, when they draft you number one, they just told him no football,
right.
And that was the end of it. So, you know, and you understand that, you know. But, you know, just being a kicker, you thought that isn't going to hurt anything, you know, but still, you never know. And, you know, especially when you're a punter and you get yourself exposed, you know, if somebody gives you a whack, it could end it for you. So it's a tough business, you know, when you get that kind of, you know, money.
Uh-huh.
And you're the first player picked. That's pretty special. And so, but that's you know, I think Tom pushed the button a little bit. He wanted to play. I think he worked at it a little bit, trying to get him to, you know, be able to play. But it wasn't in the cards.
How did you guys? I know he's coming here to play baseball, and they just had summer Legion ball for up in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you guys kind of discover him? I mean, was it by accident that you got him to play two sports, or did you go after him for football?
No, Dan Young knew about him. Dan was recruiting up there, and he did know about him. And that's why when we needed a kicker, Dan, you know, it started, I think, as I kind of remember, Dan brought it up and said, well, you know, let's give it a try. Maybe he will. And he did, you know, come and play. And, you know, and it was, you know, everybody said, sure, and that's kind of the way it went. And so, I think he was receptive to it. And I think he was, you know, excited about it, really. But I think Tom, you know, I think when Tom knew better. I think the thing was already this baseball was so important, and for he was a sure thing.
Yeah.
You know, that they, you know, nobody wanted to ruin his future.
Sure. Well, I remember the kick he had. Man, he poached one down inside the 10, inside the 5 against Miami in the Orange Bowl. And play later, Dwayne Harris is ripping up Frank Costa. Momentum-changing play. I mean, the defense was good, and you got Schlesinger going in the fourth quarter in the O-line, but that punt was huge to get you the two.
Well, the thing is, you know, the guy's a winner. He's a clutch player. I mean, he's just one of those guys that, you know, God gave him that ability to be an athlete like that. I mean, he just has the poise and the, you know, and the confidence in himself to do the things that he did. And you know, and that's, you know, that's something that's really special in a lot of athletes. You know, it's just that they're, you know, they just do things, and you can't believe sometimes what they really do. I mean, it's just, you know, and I don't know if they even believe it sometimes.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, three Huskers on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. Zach Wiegert, Eric Crouch, Larry Jacobson. And give me a thought on Crouch, not if he's going to get in or not. We'll see. This thing doesn't always break like you think it will. I know Grant went in last for Nebraska, and you were a part of that with him and at the College Football Hall of Fame, and that's awesome. But Crouch and Wiegert, two guys that you know well.
Right. Well, I think the if you look at age and things like that, Wiegert, Eric's going to get in.
Yeah.
It may not be this time, but I'm sure he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. And but you'd sure like to see some of those you'd sure like to see Jacobson get in maybe and mm-hmm. get, and of course Eric, I always thought the best of him. I mean, I'd love to see him get in, but. I think that you never know how people vote. Okay, it's a lot of it's name recognition, and I know I get a vote and so on and so forth. And it's kind of a name recognition thing. It's really hard for me to go through the lower divisions,
mm-hmm.
and if I recognize a name, it's almost like I know about this guy, but I don't know one person, and you feel kind of like guilty almost, because you have to vote, and so you're voting for somebody you kind of know, or maybe where he's even from or something like that. It's kind of strange. The coaches aren't a problem, but you get down to Division III and some of that stuff, it's tough to vote on those kids, and there's kids that probably deserve it more than the ones that you're voting for.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, thanks for sharing some thoughts today on Coach Erstad, and just kind of a bombshell. Right. And I understand it. He turns 45 tomorrow, so.
Good. Oh, well, you love the guy. I mean, I just feel terrible that he's not going to be coaching, but I understand where he's coming from.
And that's kind of where my mind has gone too.
I mean, he's got a life to live, and it's his family, and it's, and he's going to be a supporter of Nebraska no matter what happens.
Yep.
And, the only thing I worry a little bit about is guys that played here that are young players that came here maybe because of him and things like that, that they don't bail out.
Well, we'll see where it goes from here. Coach, we'll talk to you next Monday, and you take care and have a good week. Thanks so much.
Okay, well, thanks for having me. Talk to you later.
All right, Coach.
Bye now.
Take care. There he is, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Thoughts on the resignation of Darren Erstad. This is a family call to be with his boys, not a, hey, here's the door situation at all. They were poised to trend and kind of keep some momentum going after this year. Want momentum? You want a way to find that new home and get some help with closing? How about West Blue Realty? And they specialize in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. And make that next move with West Blue Realty. A limited time offer when you mention Hail Varsity. West Blue Realty will provide up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. So think about that. You say, Hail Varsity, you get $1,000 off your next closing. Give Tom Luby a ring at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hofschneider. Give Kelly a ring at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com. And what can West Blue do for you? A timeout. Derek Peterson was down at OKC. His take on Erstad's resignation next.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Don't forget, the in-demand section, ESPN Lincoln, will have our interview with Jay Moore coming up and our interview with Charlie McBride. We'll get caught up with Derek Peterson en route back from Bricktown as he covered Nebraska's run through the Big Ten tournament. He covered Nebraska's run through the regional. And, oh, man, this conversation's turned on its ear from woulda, coulda, shoulda, and frustration to remembering Darren Erstad in his 8 years at Nebraska as Nebraska's head baseball coach, legendary Husker, has resigned. At Dr. PDHV on Twitter, is where you follow Derek and you read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. So your weekend just got way, way more intense, and it was already up to your eyeballs in intensity, Dr. Petey. How are you?
Good. There are some things to talk about. The Big Ten commissioner. Okay, first of all, I want to say Darren Erstad announces that he's stepping down, and within moments, the Big Ten sends out an email that Jim Delaney's successor will be announced at a press conference tomorrow at 11. Mm-hmm. Coincidence? I think not.
Well, Darren's not. Listen, man, Darren, and maybe you can get away with being the commish and not being there 8 to 5 every day. I don't think that's Jim Delaney. But if you want to go watch hockey and baseball with your kids that are tweeners, you know, between high school and junior high age, or I don't know the exact age. I know one of his boys is junior's age, and you're not going to. Good try is what I'm telling you. Good try. I got to ask you, how was the schnitzel the other night? I never followed up with you on the schnitzel.
It was good. It was great. I had that. So I had Fassler's one time when I actually lived in Oklahoma. I went there one time. It was with my old school paper advisor. There was somebody that he used to work with that now covers the Golden State Warriors. He was in town for a basketball game, and my advisor knew I wanted to, at one point, cover an NBA team. Mm-hmm. And so he hooked us up, and we went to Fassler's, and I did not have the schnitzel because I was very weary of trying new food at that time because I was a food baby. But went the last time I was back for the fiance's graduation, and she forced me to have the schnitzel, and it was very good, and it was all I could think about. So I made sure to take Chris Walsh to it, and it lived up to the billing. It was fantastic once again.
Okay, let's go back to baseball, but I needed to get the schnitzel follow-up in there. What do you make of the season? What do you make of Erstad?
Good season. I thought it was a good season. I thought there was a lot of promising signs. There's obviously a ton of youth, and there were reasons for optimism after this season. And Darren Erstad talked. I mean, we just talked to him yesterday. We just talked to him yesterday in a press conference after the season ended. He was talking about how, you know, they were picked sixth or whatever it was in their conference, and then they go and make it to the conference championship, probably ahead of schedule. They were not supposed to be a regional. They were certainly not supposed to be one out away from having one foot in the door of a super regional. I think there are reasons to be excited. And yesterday, during the ninth inning of that blowout against UConn, I think I tweeted that it was a good season, and it's kind of being the end of it's kind of being tarnished a little bit with the way that game ended. And then I kind of sat back and thought about it, and I was like, well, not really, no. They gave up 7 runs in the last inning of that game, but they didn't have any pitching left.
Right.
So it's probably not that. It's probably not as big a deal. And then Darren said so in the press conference afterwards, and said that, you know, nobody's going to pay attention to this score 5-10 years from now, which he's probably right. So I think a very good season. I think anybody who watched Saturday night's game against Oklahoma State and watched how close they were and how it just kind of not slipped, but like a brick going through water just kind of fell out of their hand. I mean,
yeah.
You knew that night that their season was over, that they more than likely, I would have given it like a 99% chance that they were going to come back the next morning and lose to UConn, which obviously they did. But this Erstad stepping down thing came as a shock. The Fire Erstad Twitter mob is
wore me freaking out Saturday.
They wore me out. I mean, and they're having a field day right now. But even if you read the press conference that was sent out announcing his stepping down, there's a quote in there from Moose that basically said, "I respect and appreciate his desire to go be a father and to go spend more time with his family, but this was the right guy to lead our program moving forward." And
he did.
I spoke to him. I spoke to Bill Moose in a one-on-one, and he said the exact same thing. And after I published a story with Bill Moose, a bunch of the newspapers were in his office having one-on-one sit-downs, and they asked him the same question, and he gave the same answer. So I don't really know how many more times Bill Moose needed to say Darren Erstad was the guy moving forward before that Twitter mob calmed down. But we're about to see. We're about to see if, you know, I think Nebraska can certainly, the Big 12 is a better baseball conference than the Big 10. I think Nebraska can certainly make noise in the Big 10. Was Darren's overall 8 years a success? I don't know. We could go back and forth on that.
I think here's what I'll say about Erstad is, and he's a stand-up guy, and he's the first to say this, Derek, that they needed to win more games. I think last year wore him out because you had some freaking knuckleheads on the team, okay? And for them to flip it around and play maybe above their skis a little bit, but still play the right way, I think that made him smile. And I think when push came to shove, he looked at this year's team and says, you know, we may have better teams, we may have better years, but I don't know that I'll have a better group. I think he really liked his kids this year.
He said just as much yesterday in the press conference after the game, and I don't quite remember the question that was asked of him. I don't, if I'm thinking about it, I don't think it was an opportunity for him to be super reflective on the season, but he was very reflective in the end of his answer. And there's one quote that kind of sticks with me where he said, I've loved a lot of teams we've had here, but I've loved this team the most. And he talked about the seniors and their desire to sort of take the young guys under their wing and say, look, you know, we've been to a couple regionals and we haven't won, and I'm sick and tired of doing that. And we're going to take the young guys and show them how to do things the right way. And he was very, it was kind of the, you know, the sad song starts playing and the corners get a little fuzzy and white on the screen, and you think back to all the good times, and that was kind of the vibe that I had from that. And even, you know, now when you look back on it, it seems even more so. But he was very reflective, and, you know, your mind, whenever there's an abrupt change in higher ups in the sports world now, your mind almost always goes to a negative thing. Oh, what happened? Oh,
why is he leaving? Right.
Why is he leaving? What is going wrong? Is there something under the table that happened? You know, but maybe this was just the right time. Maybe it was just that senior group was leaving. This was the team that, like he said, he's never had a team like this. It's kind of touched his heart the way this team touched his heart. And it was just the right time. And, you know, Bob Stoops kind of said the same when he stepped down. He said, there's nothing wrong. It was just the right time, and I want to go be a father. And I expect, you know, that's been used a lot as an excuse to get out of jobs that coaches don't want to be in. I guess time will tell if that is an excuse or if that's really how he feels. And I don't think there's any reason for us to question that was sincere when he says he just wants to go be a father, because, I mean, he's 45. He had a good MLB career. He made a lot of money. He doesn't have to coach. I think he wants to go be a dad. Let him go be a dad.
Well, and the hardest thing to do is to look your kid in the eye and say, I can't be at your game, period. And he's got a couple of little ones that he wants to be around for. And with their time with as a family, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, he's not that far removed from playing 162 games or move. You know what I mean? Moving.
Yeah, I can't speak to the having kids aspect, whereas you can. And
well, my kid looks me in the eye and says, get the hell out. I don't want you around, old man. But his mother's drunk a lot in the stands, and he blames me for that. So we're talking with Derek Peterson, Hail Varsity Radio. Dr. Petey is back from Bricktown. And what was the atmosphere like on Saturday night, man? Because we're all watching Coach Brett's house. We're all gathered around. Everyone's, like, just waiting for it to, you know, to finish off, man, and get to that regional final. And then the Cowboys do what the Cowboys do. And, you know, yesterday's just, let's, you know, wipe that out. But what a great baseball game, but what a painful loss for Nebraska. Not to pump the brakes on the Erstad remembrance segment here, because I think he's done a hell of a job moving the program forward and fixing it and serving the state of Nebraska, coming back to do it. You know, he had to be pretty much talked into taking the gig. He didn't want to take it, is what Coach McBride was telling us. I need to get the program back on track. What do you make of Saturday night? You've seen a lot of pretty crazy finishes in sporting events. That was nuts. That was as draining as I remember in a long time.
Dude, that was an atmosphere like no other I've been a part of in a baseball ballpark. That was, as a neutral observer, that was awesome. That's exactly what you want. And there was a lot of those around regionals around the country. Creighton was on the good side of it, whether it was yesterday or today against Michigan. But that atmosphere was electric. It was great. There was a lot of Nebraska fans. There were more than there were Friday for the UConn game. I think some people decided to drive down Saturday morning, and that, you know, added to the atmosphere. The fact that it was a night game, it added to it. It was great. And I don't. You know, there was the number that Nebraska was 29-0 when leading after eight innings, and Gomez was awesome.
Yeah,
leading up to Saturday, and he was a freshman. He's a freshman that can't be glossed over. I don't think that it was as much Nebraska losing as it was Oklahoma State winning, and everybody. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. People can complain about the fastballs, mm-hmm. But he was hitting 97 on the gun. He hit 97 miles an hour. That's hard to do.
Guys still got to hit it.
And it's even harder to hit it, right. And, you know, you can play revisionist history all you want, mm-hmm. but, you know, Aaron Erstead said after the game, it set up the way they wanted it to. Waldron pitched a phenomenal game, and they got Shaneman in. To get him out, and then they got Gomez in the way that they wanted to do it, and it was just a heck of an effort from Oklahoma State to close, and something like 50% of their wins this season have come after they were trailing, so that's something that they have grown comfortable doing.
Derek, hang on. I'm up against a hard break. Hang on. We'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
So more thoughts on the resignation of Darren Erstad to be a dad. And it's sincere. Derek Peterson back from Bricktown. Dr. Petey, we'll keep you about two more minutes here. And thanks for coming on the other side here. I didn't want to cut you off about Saturday night's atmosphere. What do you think Bill Moose can do here for a third encore? He did football right. He's done basketball right. And you're replacing a guy that has moved the program forward. You've got names out there that have Nebraska ties. One of my favorite people ever. And Will Bolt's a name that has come up the last 30 minutes, 45 minutes for sure. You have Dan Heefner of Dallas Baptist. You've got Nate Thompson, Van Horn's assistant down at Arkansas. I mean, people in this state and obviously so want to go back to the Van Horn Childress era and find people from their coaching tree. Do you think Moose can get that done?
Can he get it done? Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that he pulled Scott Frost and Fred Hoiberg as football and basketball coaches in his first 2 years gives you confidence that he can land his top guy. He likes to point out that he has a list in his desk for potential coaches, and he hasn't had to go past number one on that list for either football or basketball.
So we got to determine who's number one on the list, don't we?
Right. Yeah. Can he get it done? Absolutely. I don't know who would or should be on that list. I saw Kendall Rogers said Justin Seeley or Will Bolt or Indiana's Rick Heller is what he has said. Rob Childress is a name that has come up. Is it crazy to think that either of the guys coaching Omaha teams would maybe get a look as guys that are in state and have programs trending in the right direction? I don't think that's crazy, but I'm not going to pretend to know who is on the list or should be on the list.
No, and that you want a guy that understands Nebraska, and Will Bolt has won at Nebraska, went to College World Series with Van Horn at Nebraska, has been an assistant under Erstad at Nebraska, and took a lateral move, but his family, again, back to family. His family's from the Houston region or near there. I mean, A&M's pretty much home for him and his wife and their kids. And Childress is his mentor, you know. And Childress was here as the assistant head coach with Mike Anderson when Van Horn moved on. So the math looks to be, with Bolt being a guy that's, hell, I don't think Will Bolt's even 40 yet. So I think that'd be who I'd go after. You have options. You can go spend and get who you want, you'd think. But the understanding of Nebraska and North baseball is, I think, paramount. There's a guy you're going to have to – you have to go sell a guy to come here, or you're going to have to tell a guy that already knows what it's going to take to win here, you know?
Yeah. Yep. 100%
okay.
I'm with you.
Dr. Petey, be looking for your write-up, brother. Thanks so much for jumping on with us this afternoon, bud.
Sounds good. Sorry for going overtime.
No, you're good. It's all good, brother. We love overtime. Take care. There he is, Derek Peterson. Read him on Hail Varsity, HailVarsity.com, at Dr. Petey HV on Twitter is where you go. So our thoughts here on Darren Erstad. You can jump in. You can chime in, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. He has resigned. He's going to spend more time with his kids. Going to be a dad. And going to be a dad that is around for his kids' baseball seasons and all the things you need to do as a dad that are extremely difficult for parents with the rat race, but very, very, very difficult for Division I head coaches or assistant coaches to be able to be there for the kids. And you're going to want to hear Coach McBride kind of detail his personal life and dealing with that as a dad and kids. And it was good stuff. It'll be on the ESPN Lincoln In Demand section. Our chat with Derek Peterson will be up there. And, of course, Jay Moore. Don't forget also over on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle, we'll have some of the SoundCloud stuff posted up as well. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. So I know I've been championing Will Bolt. We loved talking to Will Bolt when he was as an assistant at Nebraska. He'd come on the show weekly. He is big time. He's fantastic. He's a carbon cutout of Dave Van Horn. Mm-hmm. All right. And he's been down in SEC country at A&M with Coach Childress. The other guy to think about here is Nate Thompson. I know I've mentioned him. He's an assistant coach. He's a recruiting coordinator for Van Horn at Arkansas. Took Missouri State to a super regional, okay? And I think you can clean up and win again at Nebraska in the Big Ten with doing some work in the Missouri-Kansas City region. Mm-hmm. Nebraska did well in a couple of spots in Colorado, and I'm thinking of Matt Hopper. They got a Shane Comine, obviously, from Hawaii, right? But Nebraska did well with kids that were from that, and Van Horn's connected down in Kansas City. And if you got a guy with Missouri State in Nate Thompson, that's a very, very strong option as well. If you're Coach Childress, do you leave A&M to come back here? Probably not. Not at this point where you're still chasing your own SEC crown and your own College World Series championship. A&M's gotten there under Childress, and you knew that would happen. Van Horn has gotten there under what he's done, and he's an Arkansas graduate, so that was home for him. But I don't think you're far off, straying far away with what has worked here at Nebraska with some familiar Nebraska names.
Well, I think the upside, as far as children, well, you know what the upsides with Childress are, but as far as pulling him away from A&M is,
I don't think you go there. I think you go get an assistant.
I agree.
You?
Yeah, I think so. But if your goal,
if you can pull him away, hell yes.
Right. If that's the goal, right, to get Childress, you get a blank slate. You get back to Nebraska.
But he'd do it at this point.
That's the thing.
Because Childress walks in, dude, with his spurs on and his six shooters, and he takes like three kick-ass Nebraska kids every year, and he says, come on and play in warm weather A&M.
Well, and that's
in
the thing,
SEC.
Too,
do you trade that at this point?
Is really good, but then you look at their top. I mean, Vanderbilt, Florida, LSU, Georgia, and that's the top, and then A&M mm-hmm. as well. Right. So it's so thick that – you're all going to make it to a regional pretty much, but it's just a matter of who's going to win
this thing.
10 teams
in it, for God's sake,
exactly.
This year.
But yeah, you probably go an assistant coach because it's a job that is going to require, I think, someone that's been at Nebraska and someone that can relate to the area that they're going to have to recruit, because that's been the biggest issue. They went to the Big Ten and they haven't been able to recruit the Big Ten area because they never did. In Big 12 territory, you never had to, but now you do, and you still haven't been able to. And if Erstad was going to stick around, it was going to take a lot of work on the recruiting trail.
No, it is, and you have to recruit out of state because you're not in the Big 12 anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to have to go outside and get some arms that aren't draftable or losable,
right?
But also do a better job because you've got in-state kids like the Gomez's and the Shanahans. I said Shanahan. That's not who I meant.
Shanahan. Yeah.
There's talent in state here that need to stay in state. Creighton's kicking butt with a lot of kids that could be at Nebraska. We'll see where Nebraska turns. We'll wind down on Monday next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, and Darren Erstad resigning today to spend more time with his kids. Bless his heart for that. Coaches, when they look back, they love all the kids they've coached. They love the successes, but there's a lot of heartache with missed time being a dad and Coach Erstad stepping down. This is kind of a bombshell because we didn't think it was going to happen. And they had a tough one yesterday. They almost had it Saturday night, and now the conversation's shifted from woulda, coulda, shoulda to thanks, Darren Erstad, for making the program better. Thanks for making Nebraska baseball successful again. And you had so many folks that are kind of on that that bandwagon where there's a lot of venom about Erstad and what they aren't doing versus kind of stopping and going, man, they put a really good finish to the year together. Was it all successful? No, but they had a good finish, a good end, aside from 16-1, a plungering. But you know what I'm saying, with the Oklahoma State game being right there, these kids played their ass out. They did a great job. They played well enough to win a Big Ten postseason. Didn't get it done. And we talked in the first hour before this news came down that, you know, this was kind of the building block year, and what can you do with this year and your successes, but also your shortcomings, and can you springboard? Well, it's someone else's turn to take this program and get it up to a higher level. And is that going to be Will Bolt? Is that going to be Seeley? Is that going to be the guy from Dallas Baptist? Is that going to be Coach Childress? Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill Moose going to walk into that coffee shop, order a piece of pie, and say, here's a blank check to whoever. The question is who do you want as the next Nebraska baseball coach? And my first pick would be Childress because he's done it at a high level. He did it at a high level here. And I just don't think you pry him out of A&M. But Will Bolt just is not far removed from Nebraska. The question you got to ask yourself about Will Bolt is he – I never thought Will Bolt would leave Nebraska for a lateral spot at A&M. But it just made too much sense with Will Bolt and his family and being from down there and being the assistant head coach, and then – I would say the heir apparent to Coach Childress down there, right? But do you come back here to Nebraska if you're Will Bolt while Childress is still in charge there, and do you just make a second move back? You know what I mean? Do you come back to A&M once Childress if Childress steps down? Do you go get Van Horn's assistant at Arkansas? That's the name you're hearing with Nebraska tie, obviously. Man, Nebraska's going to be all right.
I just think it's an interesting conversation that goes from, what can you build off of to what's it going to look like now? And I think it's, I mean, you know what the roster looks like. You still need pitching.
Here's what I need to know. I need to know Childress's age. And Childress got to be in his mid-50s, doesn't he?
Got me on the clock here.
No, we're good. We're good. Hey, catch the podcast. Good stuff. Lots of Nebraska baseball.
50.
He's 50.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're not going to wait forever if you're Will Bolt either. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks so much.